Amen. Hey, guy.
Hey, Millie.
So fancy meeting you here.
Right.
When this opportunity arose yesterday, and I thought to myself, what shall we do for Trinity Sunday? I thought, I know, we'll have a conversation with Reverend Sales. And so, you know, it's also Choir Appreciation Sunday, so we've got that names to say. We have things to do today, so we'll keep it short.
Okay.
All right, you good with that? Okay, we'll keep it short. So I just have two questions for you, and I thought you could just kind of briefly answer these questions, and then we'll move on with our service. So the first is explain the doctrine of Trinity. Now wait. What? It's Guy Sales. He could do it. So explain the doctrine of Trinity first, in 10 words or less. And then second, what is truth? Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. So you all just settle in. We're going to be here for a minute.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but seriously, I do want to explore with you the concept, not necessarily of Trinity, although I think we'll get there, but of the whole impetus of doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially in this context today where we're also talking about truth being revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, doctrine is so interesting because I think the original impulse of creating doctrine is to get to truth and is to get to unity. But I don't know if you all know this in your church history, didn't happen. It didn't lead to unity. It led to division. In these meetings that these folks were having to develop truth, people died for this. So it did not lead to unity then or now, I don't think. And so I just want to hear your thoughts on doctrine in general and the process of it and maybe the impulse of it. And yeah.
What small issues, small questions, about 3.5 minutes each.
Yep.
We'll be
there.
Yeah. So from my perspective, doctrinal statements, even our creeds, are statements of the most recent meeting, or could be treated that way. They are reports from the most recent conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation grows up out of relationship.
Mm.
Ideally, grows up out of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a connection, really, between the idea of the doctrine of the Trinity as it developed and our understanding of truth. Both are relational. Truth in a Christian context is a relational thing.
Yes.
It has to do with the relationship with God, has to do with the relationship with ourselves, relationship with each other. And the Trinity developed because people had relational experiences with God in a variety of ways. They experienced God as mother, father, creator. They experienced God as Jesus, brother, friend, teacher. They experienced God as a spirit who spoke to mm-hmm. them, and they over time realized in all these various ways we're experiencing the same God. We're mm-hmm. relating to the same God of love. So how do we account for that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these conversations were about.
That's the original intent.
That was the original intent.
Mm-hmm.
And then these doctrinal statements, rather than being recent reports about a conversation that continues, should
mm-hmm.
continue,
mm-hmm.
got fixed in place.
Mm-hmm. There was a period put at the end of the sentence, and literally what is the point of a period? It's to separate things,
yes.
right? Rather than to bring it together.
There was a period where there should have been ellipses,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to be continued. And frankly, there are periods where there should be question marks,
mm.
Where the questions are still open.
I'm curious about the concept of truth as relational and evolving, and the concept of putting a period at the end of it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an impulse for us as humans that comes from fear,
mm-hmm.
And is natural and normal for us to want to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, the period, the desire to put a period and to think we have something more or less figured out and contained has to do with our anxiety about uncertainty. We think that our security comes from knowing for sure.
Mm.
And there isn't a way, especially something as magnificent and all-encompassing as God, to ever have a concrete, permanent statement of who that is and how that reality is part of our lives. So, in a Christian way, there are many, but in a Christian way of understanding what truth is, we can begin by just listening to Jesus, who said, in the Gospel of John at least, I am the truth. And so whatever truth is a reflection of and a manifestation of the person, the character, the way of Jesus. And so whatever it is that is Jesus-like, love-like, hope-like, compassion-like, is what we understand to be truth. Truth is not propositional. It's personal. And that's the problem with some creedal statements, is we replace the personal with the propositional. And Jesus, you know, said that truth is an ongoing process of discovery, too. Truth is in the conversation. This text that you read a few moments ago from the Gospel of John, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now.
But the Spirit will come, and he will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears.
Yes. And he will guide you into all truth.
Yes.
The Spirit will guide you into all truth.
And all of those are relational statements,
right?
Because we can't speak unless we're listening.
Yeah.
We can't listen unless we're in relationship.
Yeah, a 19th century preacher, John Henry Jowett, said, we haven't been given a guidebook as much as we've been given a guide. And the book is part of what the guide uses, but the guide is where we look for truth.
And I think that it's, I mean, I don't know about you all, but our relationships can be hard. Is there anyone else who has found that to be a truth? Yeah, relationships can be hard. And so our impulse to want to come to a conclusion, I think on some level, is a desire for a break from the hard work.
Yes.
Because we are fragile. We can have fragile moments, and we do need breaks from seeking and from relational evolution. And I think for me, that's where the Holy Spirit, because the other Trinity that I think about is God, self, neighbor, right? This is the other Trinity that we're given in our scripture. And we have to return, I have to return to self and to Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides. The Holy Spirit will be in you, will be in me. That resides within us. That is the self energy that gives us wisdom, that helps us make decisions, that directs us. And when I am tired within the context of relationship, I have to have moments when I return to self. But if I try to stay there, I will lose the evolution that occurs within relationship. So you were saying something earlier in a conversation about this being like a dance.
Yeah. One of my favorite words for the Trinity comes up out of this, some of this doctrinal conversation, but especially in the Eastern Orthodox parts of the church, the Trinity is often referred to as a perichoresis. And you can hear in the middle of that word choreography, perichoresis. And it thinks of the Trinity as a dance, you know, the three persons of the Trinity joining hands and hearts in a circle dance, a dance of mutuality and joy where they respond to each other. They sing and dance and enjoy each other, defer to one another, lead and follow. And then the really remarkable thing is they unclasp their hands and invite us into the circle. And when they invite us into the circle, they invite all of us, body, mind, soul, and spirit, God, self, neighbor. They invite all of us into all of them, mm-hmm. all of that one. Mm-hmm. And so the dance just expands, mm-hmm. and the joy gets multiplied, mm-hmm. and the love gets shared over mm-hmm. and over again. Mm-hmm. And so if we could think of the Trinity as a dance instead of a doctrine, we'd be a lot better off.
Mm-hmm. The dance of the Trinity. That's what it's going to be from now on. And raise your hand if you're a dancer. Oh, I've got work to do. But you have danced, right? Okay, good. So if you are a dancer or have ever danced, you will know that if you think about what you're doing, if you're up here in your head, the dance will not go well. You will step on people's feet. You will make the wrong moves. Because when I'm in that place and I get analytical about what I'm going to do next, I lose the heart and the spirit of what it is I am doing with other. Right?
Right. I mean, there is a necessary kind of, and the right kind of, self-forgetfulness in dancing. You have to lose yourself in the rhythm, the cadence, the music of the dance, which is love. And you also have to pay attention to the other partners in the dance, mm-hmm. you know, to be sure that your dance is enhancing theirs and theirs is enhancing yours. Mm-hmm.
And you have to be willing to fail.
Yeah.
Right, in the dance. None of us can learn a dance without being willing to take the risk of looking like a fool.
That's right. And you know, one of the things I mentioned to you earlier is, as new people join the dance, you know, the dance changes because people are different, and we dance differently because people join. And that can be a cause for celebration, not a cause for difficulty. Mm-hmm. Here we get to learn more moves because more people have joined the dance.
Mm-hmm. And dancing can be tiring, mm-hmm. right? And so sometimes we'll be the person that needs to step out mm-hmm. of the dance and observe. To me, I believe the relational aspect is that even when we're taking a break and stepping back and observing, the observation is still engagement,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so there's a difference between shutting down to the dance at all and taking a break and simply observing and being present still in the process of learning. But when we attempt to say it's complete, I don't want to live in a world where the dancing is over.
Yeah.
I just don't. So if we can see that all of the meetings that the church has ever had is simply informing us of what the Spirit has been whispering in our ears right. about the dance, their dance instructions, mm-hmm. but we are still a part of the evolution of all of the understanding of church, right. of humanity, of spirit. And so I know that for me, my work is not to have a firm belief, but to have resiliency and faith in the dance.
Yeah.
Resiliency to show up for it, and faith that it is in fact leading us deeper into the evolution of understanding spirit.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, trust and faith are not the opposite of doubt and difficulty. They're the opposite of certainty. And so we have to continue the conversation. We get to, because we're not certain.
Mm-mm.
And our doubts and our questions are part of the trusting process.
Mm-hmm. And so when that need for certainty arises, I think self-compassion mm-hmm. and compassion for others who are also seeking certainty from us or from the world, compassion is the best response to that. Because if we push back on that need for certainty, it will only get stronger,
right?
That part of us will mm-hmm. only become more anxious. So, you know, I think it's wonderful to say to that part, I understand you would like an answer.
Mm-hmm.
That would feel better than perhaps dancing and evolving. But can you step back? Because mm-hmm. I have some dancing to do.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Toward the end of 2 Corinthians, at the end of 2 Corinthians, there's this... by the way, there are very few direct references to something like the Trinity in the New Testament. It's a reflection on New Testament and on experience. But at the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Spirit be with you all. And I'm struck by how it's present tense, be with you all. Not yesterday, not later, but right now, may these qualities be with you. And so because of the Trinity, here and now, we are in the middle of the grace of Jesus Christ, the acceptance, the welcome, the healing, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We're in the middle of the love of God. We don't have to do anything to produce it or to deserve it. We are in it because of God. And the communion of the Holy Spirit, you know, we have this companion whispering to us about our identity and offering us comfort and guidance and the Spirit between us. So the Trinity is about relationship in a profound way. How it is that our relationship with God brings us grace and love and communion and fellowship.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy dancing, God.
Happy dancing, Millie.
Happy dancing, Grace. Amen.
Amen.